All right, welcome back. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. It is a busy, busy Thursday. So much going on, guys. I want to go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, radio broadcaster for your Boston Bruins, it's Judd Surratt. How you doing, Judd?
Great to be with you, boys. Can't wait to get things started tonight.
Very excited. They got Dallas, but right off the bat, let's kind of just, as we get into this year, first things first, what are you looking forward to? What are some of the positives that you're looking forward to this year?
Well, I think you've got some terrific young talent on the Bruins, and I think that what you've seen here in the last couple of years is that's really driven the team. And I look for advancements from those guys. Just think of guys like Jake DeBrusk. Listen, David Pastrnak, even though he's starting his sixth season in Boston, he's only 23 years old. Last year, Jake DeBrusk put up 27 goals. I think he's in for an even bigger season this year. And now that Charlie McAvoy is in the fold, signed with a three-year extension, just right at the start of training camp, if he is able to stay healthy, it will be fascinating to see if he's able to take another step in that direction. Remember, when he first burst onto the scene at 19, a lot of people were talking about him as somebody that reminded him of Drew Doughty, wow, a guy that controls the game when he's on the ice. If he can stay healthy, let's see if he can do that now at age 21.
I think he'd be bummed you're going to Phoenix. Your one trip to Phoenix is in early October instead of the middle of a blizzard in February. What are you going to do?
It's going to be smoking hot here on the West Coast.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure.
Dallas, Vegas, yeah. Phoenix, in the 90s. So that's okay. Always nice to pack the Keens in the bag.
Yeah. So how long does it take a broadcaster to get over that seventh game? I mean, obviously, it's, you know, you've moved on, but that had to hurt. It certainly hurt as a fan.
I think I'm like a lot of the players. I don't know if I've actually gotten over it. When I see that footage, it still brings up a visceral reaction. But I think, like a lot of players, and obviously it certainly hits a lot bigger for them, I think you just have to sort of move on, get past it. You've got a season in front of you, and just think logically about it. Okay, there's nothing we can do to change what happened on June 12th back at TD Garden, but I don't think I'll ever be over that game.
Judd, we spent all season speculating about the Red Sox and if they handled their World Series championship the right way, and they were saying, oh, it'll be better this year, or hey, we're not hiding from our success, we want to embrace it, we'll keep talking about it. How are the Bruins handling failure in your mind?
I think what they did is right at the beginning of training camp, they had a discussion and they put it to bed and realized everybody starts from scratch. Once we get things going tonight here in Dallas, that the 82-game grind begins, and you've got to figure out a way to first make the playoffs. And that is not a given in the National Hockey League, considering the parity that is around the league. I mean, look at the teams that the Bruins are going to face here on this first road trip. Dallas could very easily be a team that comes out of the West. I think a lot of people think Arizona could potentially be a surprise. Vegas, in very short order, has turned into one of the powers in the Western Conference. And then you end the road trip with a team in Colorado that I think surprised a few people last year, but they have a terrific group that they've assembled there and a line in Landeskog and Rantanen and MacKinnon that rivals the line that the Bruins feature with Bergeron, Marchand, and Pastrnak.
You know, Judd, I don't think the Bruins are going to go ahead and have as many points as they had last year. I don't think that's just possible. Can they be as successful if they're 12 to 15 points less this year?
Yes. I don't know how you base success. You know, I base it on, you know, your ability to vie for a championship. You know, when the Bruins last year won 49 games, they were a terrific team. And once again, they're in my mind, the strongest division in the National Hockey League. You have teams in Toronto and Tampa and Florida certainly improved this year. You know, you've got some elite teams around the National Hockey League. But for the Bruins, and I really think for every team around the National Hockey League, find a way to get yourself into the playoffs. And I think last year was a perfect illustration. If you get in, that gives you an opportunity to vie for a title because all sorts of things happen and the favorites started to fall. The playoffs are a very different game than the regular season. So, you know, do I think that the Bruins are going to win 49 games this year? They certainly could, but if they don't and they win 45, I still believe that this is a team that's a favorite to win the Stanley Cup.
Oh, wow.
How hard do you think it's going to be to get past Tampa in a playoff scenario? They have got to be as fired up as any team in the history of sports to advance out of the first round this year.
Well, I'm sure that they're going to be playing with some sort of a chip on their shoulder. But last year, I don't think that anybody at all gave Columbus a chance, not even a sniff, in that series against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And they swept them. So I still think, like, the Bruins, had they faced Tampa Bay last year in the second round, had Tampa advanced and found a way to get by the Blue Jackets, because I believe that the Bruins were a better team than the Toronto Maple Leafs. They showed it again, winning in seven games, that I think that the Bruins were equipped to beat Tampa because of how strong they are down the middle, the way they're able to defend in the back end, and how strong they are in net. You know, I think Columbus last year exposed a few flaws in Tampa, and they're a really good team. But they targeted a few guys in particular, Victor Hedman, Nikita Kucherov, and Andre Vasilevsky. They were able to get to all three of those guys, and that, along with the fact that Tampa last year went through no adversity, no duress, and the first time they experienced it was in the playoffs, and they didn't know how to respond.
Judd Cerrotti is the radio broadcaster for the Bruins, who will be heard all season long right here on 101.3 The Game and on our sister station, 960 The Zone. Judd, look, hockey players are much tougher than basketball players. We know that, but this would worry me in basketball, and now it worries me in hockey. I'm worried about the Bruins' aging core. Now I'm hearing things like Patrice Bergeron's not going to be involved as much at morning skate. He might take off the penalty kill. They're trying to manage his, you know, load management. We got older players that played a lot of hockey. I'm worried about the age of this core. Am I making too much of a big deal about it in hockey?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that the same narrative was there last year. So Patrice Bergeron last year did not play in a single preseason game. Mm-hmm. What did he do during the regular season? The goals and points that he put together per game were the best of his career. David Krejci last year tied a career high in points, which he originally set back in 08-09. So I think what you're seeing, and some of the articles that are coming out, this is really happening here over the last couple of years with Bruce Cassidy, the way he wants to coach, and the type of roster that he fields. So for a guy like Patrice Bergeron, and there are a lot of players like this, coaches tell them stay away from the rink so you're fresh at game time. A lot of guys don't necessarily want to do that because it's part of their routine to go through the morning skate to get themselves ready. Zdeno Chara is a perfect example. Now, he's 42 years old, so that's in a much different category than a guy like David Krejci or Patrice Bergeron. But the other thing that I think you're seeing with Bergeron and Krejci to some extent is because you have guys like Sean Corrali, and now you have Charlie Coyle, which you did not have in the fold at the start of last year, you don't have to start Patrice Bergeron in the D zone as often. He doesn't always have to get the number one checking matchup. Guys like Corrali can play those really hard minutes to free up Patrice Bergeron and that line to do the damage that we've seen them do.
John, I'm just curious. You used to work for the Blackhawks on their broadcast side of things, a pretty hockey-crazed market, a Stanley Cup pedigree, of course. I got to ask you, how does it compare working in Boston versus working in Chicago?
Very similar. Both original six cities, rabid fan bases. But I think that the amount of hockey that is played in New England and on the East Coast, the Midwest cannot rival it at this point. I think that they're trying to get there. But when you're talking about the amount of people that are playing youth hockey, the amount of Division I college programs that are around, whether it's UVM or BU, BC, Northeastern, all the teams that are in and around the ECAC as well. So in that way, I think that you are talking about the smartest, deepest hockey market in the United States.
Wow. Well, you know, John, I thought part of the Bruins' success last year not only was Tuca, but because they also had a backup goalie who got to go ahead and give him some rest, and Halak did a great job. I mean, he was phenomenal last year.
Huge. You know, and you're going to see that tonight in Dallas. Part of the reason that Ben Bishop was such a success this past year as one of the guys who was among the league leaders in goals against and save percentage was because of the job that former Bruins backup Anton Khudobin did last year.
Yep.
So I think the plan is this year for something similar. Now, obviously, the way that the Bruins get started is going to dictate how often he plays. But I think the whole idea is, can you keep it somewhere between 45 to 55 games? I'm thinking probably somewhere between 50 to 55 games.
Mm.
You know, and this is all assuming health. But when you have a guy in Yaroslav Halak that you can lean on, that is a terrific pro, he had a great season last year, it keeps your number one guy fresh. So once the playoffs begin, if you think back to last year, had the Bruins prevailed in Game 7, Rask was going to be the Conn Smythe Trophy winner, and he credits a lot of his success in the playoffs and during the regular season to the work done by Yaroslav Halak.
Yeah.
Judd, who do you see as the potential guy who might put up a 60-point season out of nowhere? And I mean, we've seen that DeBrusk can be that guy, but is there an Anders Bjork or a Danton Heinen or somebody like that that you can see taking that big step up this year?
Well, I think Heinen is a good name to start with. So Anders Bjork is going to start the season in the minors. I think just an aside on a guy like Anders Bjork, who the Bruins really like, and he's got a lot of promise. Now, he's made the team out of camp in each of the two previous seasons, but this year, coming off of back-to-back shoulder surgeries, I think they want him to get his confidence back and get the offensive touch back, and it's easier to do at the American Hockey League level. With a guy like Danton Heinen, if you go back 2 years, he actually outscored Jake DeBrusk as a rookie.
Mm.
Now, last year, those point totals, they dipped a little bit. So is he able to recapture some of that offensive magic? Now, he moved all over the lineup for Bruce Cassidy. He liked to call him a joker. And in that way, it's like the joker in your deck of cards. He can kind of go with any hand. I do think that you're going to see some greater offensive numbers for him. But the other guy I think to focus on, and I know this is going to sound strange, is a guy like Charlie Coyle.
Yeah.
So Coyle really came into his own last year in the playoffs. And I had numerous conversations with Charlie, especially here during training camp. And part of that success was he was in a set line with a set role with a set line mate in Marcus Johansson. So at least for the time being, assuming that David Krejci is able to stay healthy, and remember, you know, toward the tail end of training camp, his status was sort of in doubt. But I'm going to assume that everything's going to be okay and he's going to play on opening night in Dallas, that if Charlie Coyle gets an opportunity to stay in a specific spot, play in a specific role, play with a guy like Danton Heinen on a consistent basis, I think you're going to see some big numbers for a guy like Charlie Coyle. This was a guy who in Minnesota, he bounced all over the place. Is he a center? Is he a wing? Is he a plan on our top line? Is he playing on the second line? Maybe we should move him down on the third line. He did have some injuries there. But I think because of that, it really slowed the offensive production and growth for a guy like Coyle. I could see a big season from him.
He's Judd Surratt, radio broadcaster for your Boston Bruins. You'll hear the opener tonight, Bruins at Dallas, right here on 101.3 The Game. Judd, enjoy the game. Have fun, and we'll definitely do it again.
Look forward to it. Thanks for having me on, boys. Enjoy.